Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Susanna Klein. Susanna is a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and she recently dropped by the podcast to talk a little bit more about her background in fashion, how she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Susanna Klein. Susanna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Brett. I'm very happy to be here this morning.
Absolutely. Great to see you. How are things going? How are you doing?
Brett, I'm great. We just wrapped up fourth quarter school, and that was a great feeling, submitting my last paper on Sunday. Another amazing feeling of accomplishment with school, and I'm doing really well. I love school. I never dreamed it would be as good as it is, even though I knew it would be great. So everything's good here. Thank you.
So one of the questions that we've been asking of podcast guests recently, at least over the past year, is whether they've picked up any new hobbies, activities, pastimes. I know school is probably taking up a fair amount of your time, but anything that you've enjoyed to help pass the time while we're maybe staying at home a bit more here in the pandemic?
So I do have one, something that I pursued that I had been thinking about for a long time, other than in addition to my MBA. I have a comedic character that I've played on my Instagram. So that's been a hobby. She went dormant a little bit with the start of school, but she might need to be revived. I have dabbled in comedy before, done some improv and things like that in my life. And I have a few characters in mind, and I finally put one of them to life last summer. And that was fun. It's on my mind right now because somebody just discovered it who hadn't seen it before and reached out, and it kind of made my day to hear how much they liked it.
All right. So this is the first time we've had anybody say, well, you know, I am dabbling in comedy here on the podcast.
Really?
So yeah, no, that's great. It's always interesting to see what people have gotten into. We've a lot of paint by numbers. We've had a lot of cooking, bread mm-hmm. making, exercising, probably a little bit more at home, but it's just an interesting question I've enjoyed asking over this past year. Well, Susanna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast to share your story. And so before we get into your experience here at Darden, tell us a little bit more about your background. What's your career path been to date, and what you do before coming to Darden?
So I'm slightly a bit of an anomaly in the Darden community. I come from New York. And I live in New York, and more on that, I think, throughout the podcast about my choice to come to school outside of the immediate area. I've been working in fashion my whole career. So I studied textiles in college. I went straight to the Bloomingdale's buying program. And then I've had a career in fashion, and really, I'm proud of my career in fashion. It was fantastic for many years. I was an executive director at Chanel in the clothing division, and which is called Ready to Wear. And then I went on to be a VP at Oscar de la Renta. After that, I was working with new designers and companies just starting out, running my own business at a consulting with these businesses. And I really wanted to make a career pivot. You know, I loved fashion and I'll always love creative businesses, but I wanted to do something completely different for the second half of my career. And now I am. And that's what brought me to Darden. And it was very quick mission accomplished in this few short months. And now I'm working in software sales. So that may sound like a complete, you know, where did this come from? Not logical next step. But in fact, it is, because the division that I work in specializes in apparel, footwear, and accessories companies. So it's still a very consultative approach, working with those companies, hearing about their operations and their challenges, because I sell software that helps them. So to totally revitalize their business process. And that's where I am. So mission accomplished. Can I graduate yet? Not quite.
Got a few more quarters to go. But congratulations on completing quarter four. I talked with one of your classmates just yesterday, and she was remarking, gosh, how quickly people fly through the program. Can't believe she's in quarter five. Do you have a similar feeling here?
I do not share that view. I have a different perspective. I feel that when we went into LR1, so our, you know, orientation week back in August, that seems like ages ago. And even for me, as somebody with so much work experience, you know, I'm one of the more veteran, non-veteran in the program, but, you know, I have a lot more work experience than some people in the program. And I feel that I've come so far, even having so much experience under my belt. And it doesn't seem fast to me in that respect, because it's been so rich in experience that, I don't know the words for it exactly, but it does not feel like it flew by, because I feel we've just learned so much. And I still think about each class and the amazing professors, and on a regular basis, I'm utilizing what we've learned. I'm more of the mindset, I can't believe there's so much more to learn. It's almost blowing my mind that there could be possibly be more. You know what I'm saying?
I can understand that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's been a great experience thus far. I want to come back to that in a second, but I want to talk a little bit more about your background in fashion. What originally attracted you to fashion?
So I have always been interested in anything involving design and combined, because design itself is a creative endeavor, but it's not the fine arts. So I personally never had the skill really for fine arts. I mean, I took art as a kid, but design called me because that's where you are problem solving, and you're using creativity, in my case, you know, visual creativity, combined with different constraints and math and business all put together. And, you know, I used this example in one of my class presentations of my mom was an interior designer. And when I was growing up, I remember, you know, her using all of her calculations, how much fabric did she need? And then when I was in high school and I learned about using pi r squared, she was actually using that to calculate how much fabric she needed for a round tablecloth or something like that. So just my whole life, I was exposed to design, and I had exposure to this artistry. I mean, she always had bags of fabric around the house, carpet samples. I was designing homes as a kid. So in addition to my comedic characters, I was also a budding interior designer. And I ended up not going that route. I went for fashion instead. I really was deciding between the two, mostly because I was exposed to some young people who had careers in fashion. My sister's friends, she's 4 years older. So I just learned more about that career path, and that's where I ended up going. But it was a toss up there. But so for me, that's my interest in fashion has been a little more practical, I think, than maybe some other people in fashion. I've always been interested in the business and, you know, where are you going in that? You know, I love the artistry as well, but I can usually be counted on in the showroom to say, come on, you know, where are you really going in that? So I add that little dose of reality.
And you've worked for some pretty high-end brands. I mean, Chanel, Oscar de la Renta. What attracted you to working on sort of that maybe higher end area of the sort of fashion industry?
Well, it's much more cerebral for sure. You know, especially my experience at Chanel is what I can really talk more about, because I was there for over 12 years. So if you think about how long that is in someone's life, it's, you know, it's kindergarten through senior year, right? It's an incredible amount of time. And what first attracted me was when I went on my first interview, how smart the people were who were there. And they were their intellectual pursuits, and they were interested in art and the arts and Paris and museums and culture. And the things that we learned about there too, we spent so much time learning about the different creators and different, you know, about Coco Chanel herself, but more about where she fit in, you know, I learned about the Café Society in Paris, and, you know, she was hanging out with Igor Stravinsky and Picasso. And, you know, these are things I was not going to learn about in other companies. And, you know, that would have been fine too. But once I was there and I was exposed to these things, it was fascinating in that regard. And I was also there during a time of explosive growth in the company, where they completely modernized their entire look and globalized too. So, you know, it will always be French to its core, but during the time period that I was there, we just opened up so much more to different cultures, and especially in Asia, Russia, you know, there was just the way that the fashion world was going. There were so many changes. You know, but there were just so many special experiences. I became almost fluent in French from traveling to Paris. I was going 6 or 7 times a year. You know, it's become a huge part of me and who I am, learning another language, spending time in an incredible city like that. I mean, I'm lucky to live in New York, which is an incredible city, but, you know, Paris is magical. And to start to feel like it was my home was an incredible experience. So there was definitely a lot of meaning in that. You know, I'm waxing a bit poetic here, Brett. But I think that's what keeps you working at a place like that, is that commitment to the creativity and just being connected to a special place like that. There was actually one really cool perk too that I'll just throw in there. So we had our designer, Karl Lagerfeld, he had a photography exhibit at Versailles. So he was one of the most prolific creative artists, you know, that ever lived. And one of his passions was photography. And we had a private viewing of his work, not at a gallery. No, not at a gallery, Brett, at Versailles. So we had a private tour at night of Versailles, you know, in the Hall of Mirrors with nobody in it. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my life that I'll never forget. You know, and that's when you work for a company like that, these are some of the things that you experience.
That's a pretty incredible story. I can't say many jobs offer that level of perks.
this is true.
So that's awesome, Susanna. So talk to us a little bit more about your decision to pursue an MBA. Is it something you had thought about for a while? You mentioned always being the person that kind of grounds these conversations about design and fashion in the where is somebody going to wear that? You know, these kind of business related concerns. Had you thought about an MBA for a while?
Yes. I thought about it for so long I know some of the reasons why that it took me so long to get rolling, but I would definitely tell everyone, don't think about it for so long, just go. But you know, whenever you do go, it will be the right time for you, because I believe that's how life works. For me, I had been knowing I wanted to make a change, thinking about it. You know, I was running my own business, and I was feeling during this time that I was running my business, I know there's so much more that I can be giving these clients. And I was doing a good job, but I knew that there was just technical information in terms of, you know, their business plans, accounting, operations, all of these different things. But I didn't exactly know what it was. And I was thinking, well, I know where I could learn some of these skills, getting an MBA. And I just didn't take the time, to be honest. I didn't know if I had too much experience to go. That was one of my hurdles. And it turns out that my amount of experience, I add something different to the class, and especially for a case study type of environment like we have, all of the viewpoints of our classmates do add something. So anyway, that was one of my concerns. But getting down to your question, it was the pandemic. So my work had, it was not booming, put it that way. You know, fashion companies were barely, they were trying to stay alive. They weren't looking to hire additional people. They were letting their full-time people go. They weren't bringing on consultants. And, you know, it slowed me down to that period of self-reflection. And I'm not kidding. It's when I say I woke up one morning and I said, I am doing this. And then I just started digging around, looking at the different programs, you know, digging around on the internet and finding out. And I was having my introductory phone calls, which really was an incredible part of applying to all of the schools, how much interpersonal connection there was. And I just jumped in. I don't know. I mean, I guess I knew that I could decide to not attend. You know, that was an option, but I had to apply. And by the way, this was in April. I mean, this was a year ago. And it, for me, it happened overnight. It was, especially with Darden, with the rolling admissions, it was, I woke up, whatever that day was, April, may have been March, maybe around my birthday in March, I'm not sure. I said, I have to do this. My application was in on May 10th. And you and I spoke a lot because I was having trouble, you know, getting my transcripts. And then on May 29th, I got the call that I got in. So in just, I mean, it was a few weeks, my whole life was changed. You know, and I sent in my deposit and here I am. So that's, I did apply to some other schools, but not in earnest, you know, this was really where I wanted to go.
Well, that sets up my next question pretty nicely, Susanna. So I was curious about what resonated with you about Darden. Why this particular school?
So I, this isn't to toot my own horn, but I wanted to take the courageous leap of going to school outside of New York. And it's something that I understand for practical reasons, you know, why you would go locally. But I made this commitment where I said, if I'm going to change my life, because that was my goal. People have very different goals coming to the program. For me, I wanted to change my life and completely change my direction. So for me, and by the way, you don't have to go outside of where you live, but this sort of explains a little bit my origin story, because there aren't that many of us from New York. There should be. I'm going to try to work on that for you. But anyway, so I was looking at programs, and I knew that I wanted to go to, you know, a top school only. For me, that's how I like to go about things. And I was looking at the top programs, and I just kept coming back to Darden because the focus on leadership was very appealing to me. I liked the generalist leadership approach. I, you know, attended some sessions and I saw the kind of people who went there. I felt that academically, I thought the professors were incredible. Little did I even know. And now that I'm in class with them, I'm blown away every class by their, how much they know and how much they truly love us and teaching. I found also, as I was learning about the different academic styles, that the case study method I knew was right for me, for sure. I thought, you know, I don't want to read a textbook every day or whatever it may be. You know, maybe I have a different impression. Maybe I have the wrong impression of what the other programs are like, but you know, I know a little bit from my friends who have done them. But I really wanted the case study. And I also really liked the way that the program was set up. You know, I mean, how you manage your time is a big factor with the school too. So I think that the one really, the time that we spend together, the one weekend a month, is very, you're very deeply immersed. And I thought that that was terrific. And then the midweek classes too keep you engaged in between. So it's just there's just so much more discussion and points of contact on a regular basis. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's the personal connections too. It's like what I said when I went on my interviews at Chanel, how I just found it wasn't something that I had dreamed of. You know, some people go to Chanel and they try 10 times to get a job there. It's like their life goal. I didn't have that when I went there. I went and I really thought that the people were incredible. And with Darden, I knew I really wanted to go. But when I met your colleague, Catherine, on my interview, that sealed it for me too. I mean, there were so many factors. It's just an incredible school. It's lived up to everything I thought it would be and more.
Well, let's talk about your experience. So you kind of hinted at this before, you know, earlier in the conversation, that it's been this really profound time. You're learning all sorts of things. It hasn't felt fast at all. It's actually felt longer because of all the things that you're learning. So have there been highlights for you? Anything that jumps out? I know that's a very broad question, but anything that particularly stands out from your first four quarters or so here?
My learning team, for sure. So I knew that we would have learning teams going into it. That was another factor that I thought was really very cool, especially knowing that we would be remote initially because of the pandemic. And I couldn't have picked a better team, but I could not have, because I didn't know anybody, right? So the people, whoever I might've picked upon, you know, first impressions, wouldn't have been the bond that we have. So I give the school amazing credit. I don't know, I don't know how the teams are made, but it's been an incredible source of close friendship and fun and just true opportunities for all of us to experiment with learning and experiment with running things by each other that we're not sure how we would handle at work. My learning team is also, everyone's incredibly funny on the team, and we cry laughing every time we get together. Are we even discussing schoolwork anymore? Not as much. But it's terrific too, because of our backgrounds. I mean, we have, somebody's in their 20s on our team, and, you know, I'm not. And so we have different age groups, and we each help each other with whatever's happening. And it's like the total zone of trust. That's been fantastic. Our class too has had, apparently from what I hear from you and the other people working in the school, we've had a very tight bond. We know we were sort of the pandemic babies all together. And last summer, nobody could go anywhere, right? So there was great attendance at the pre-matriculation events and happy hours. When we showed up at orientation, it was like we already knew each other. So the bonding of all the people has been incredible. And especially for me, you know, I had some apprehension because I don't live locally. And so for me, this has been a fantastic opportunity to be totally in the mix because of how much time we all spend, you know, WhatsApp and Slack and virtual happy hours and all of these things. So it's been incredibly inclusive in that regard too. And I have one last thing too that has been on my mind. Seeing also how other people have grown has been amazing. A lot of the time people like to say things like, oh, people don't change, you know, which I think is a sad outlook on life. But, you know, people say it and maybe it's true in some ways, but I have seen a shift in some people in our class who I really never thought would have any curiosity, let's say, about what does that say about me? I don't know. But anyway, I observed that they did not have much curiosity about certain things in life. And I've seen how other people have grown too. And it just makes me that much more enthusiastic about the program, because it's so much more than what you learn in the classroom in terms of, you know, the actual material.
Or with what's to come in the quarters ahead, what are you most excited about?
So I just signed up for my first elective. And so that is going to be Amazing. Well, first of all, first and foremost, before I get into electives, is going to be with the vaccines and with, you know, the school being able to relax the rules, being able to be in person with my classmates and friends. Okay, so that is, I would be so remiss if I didn't mention that as being, that is by far the number one, being able to meet the professors in person and seeing how it's like breaks their hearts that they haven't met us. For real. I mean, they've all expressed this to us in class. They love that opportunity. And I can't wait to just be able to have that downtime to just talk about operations with Elliot or, you know, whatever with any of the professors. So that is by and large the number one thing I'm looking forward to. Academically, elective. So, of course, no shock, I signed up for design thinking, of course, no big shock there. But again, you know, being able to put the more academic approach and process to things that I've been doing for all these years at work, looking forward to all of the electives. And lastly, I am in two student clubs. And, you know, that all just happened, I think it was maybe, I don't know, last month, and being able to get rolling with that. So I have the same role on two different clubs. It's outreach. And I can't think of actually what it's called, but it's the person who works externally to, you know, get guest speakers and sponsorships and things like that. So for the consulting club and the Network of Executive Women. So I was just thinking about that last night. I was thinking about, you know, like really getting rolling with that and hopefully getting in some great speakers and some other fun programming like that. So we're even the club meetings themselves are fun too, just because it's a time for us all to chit chat about life, but also make a difference, especially the consulting club, because it's so career focused in terms of providing access to case interviews and things like that to our classmates. And of course, the Network of Executive Women, you know, what we provide in terms of support to one another and career opportunities and things like that. So looking forward to getting more involved there.
So Susanna, we asked the same last question of all of our podcast guests. Wonder if you have any advice, tips, suggestions for our listeners who are thinking about Darden's Executive MBA program.
Absolutely. Don't delay. If you even have one iota of thinking you might be interested, start to find out about it, start the process. And it's not to say that it's not a tremendous decision, because it is, but it's one you can only make if you apply. And sitting around thinking about it for 10 years, like I do, isn't gonna get you your MBA. So if you have any curiosity about school, all of the programs, especially Darden, are there to help you make the decision. They talk to you about, it's not just, will you get in here? That is not at all what the conversation is about. It's, you know, the conversations with the schools are, is this the school for you? What are you interested in? They get to know you as a person. And also one of the things too is, they explain, you know, should you be in the full time? Should you be an executive? You have to just go for it. It's an incredible challenge working full time and school. It's, you know, it's a train that stops at each station only briefly and it keeps going. You know, it's a huge commitment, but don't delay. Just find out about it. Do your applications and, you know, hopefully you'll get into Darden and that can be your path in life. But definitely don't hesitate. There's no reason to stop yourself from starting the process of looking. It won't hurt. I promise. I promise it doesn't hurt.
Well, Susanna, that advice squares with what we share from the admissions standpoint. We always encourage candidates to think about the application process just as part of the research process. to find out what your options are. I know it sometimes feels like a bigger commitment than that, but you haven't really committed to anything other than I'm submitting an application. I'm going to find out if Darden is an option for me. And you're still very much doing your research at that point. We know, honestly, people are doing their research up until the time they start the program, and they're continuing to think about the decision. So, so much of what you shared there really resonates with what we stress with prospective students.
Good.
Well, Susanna, it's always great catching up with you, and I'm so glad for all the exciting things happening for you. Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you so much.
And you know, thanks for coming on the podcast and sharing more of your story. Good luck with quarter five.
Brett, thank you so much. It truly was a pleasure.
And that was my interview with Susanna Klein, a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.